first. Ellen, shall we, are you going to do it, or do I do the oath?
No.
We have Sarah Reed here.
Sarah
knows the secret handshake, and so that's why she gets to do it.
This is classy.
So, I'm going to grab the short stick, yes.
Yeah. So, Gabriel,
staff development.
Come on down. And just for the benefit of the commission, Dawn, who most of you probably already know, her mom's been very ill recently, and she called me and said she sincerely apologized but was taking care of mom, and she'll be here at the next meeting, and we'll then swear her in, and she'll be officially seated. But we're also very pleased to have her aboard, so.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to have you repeat after me. This is your copy to follow along with. And if you can insert your name where that goes. Okay?
Sure.
And if you're right, raise your right hand. I,
Gabriel Gutierrez,
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California. Against all enemies. Foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith. And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California. That I will take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I just need you to sign it.
Well, Sarah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
I feel slighted, Sarah. You didn't swear me in.
I know. I'm sorry.
Special.
Well,
nice to have you on board.
Thank you. Welcome.
Over. You know everybody here?
Yes. Yeah. Now I do.
Now you do. Okay. Ms. Moore, do you think you could do the roll call for us then, now that we have another member?
I think I can. Commissioner Barcelos. Commissioner Custodio.
Here.
Commissioner Gutierrez.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Present.
Chairman Hudson.
Here. Mr. Gutierrez.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself. Where you live, who are you, and what do you do, and all that.
What area are you from?
Yeah.
Well, I obviously live here in Reedley, or I wouldn't be here today, but I've lived in Reedley for the past 20 years. Prior to that, I lived in Orange Cove. I was born in Dinuba. Have four children. They range in age from 9-year-old, 10-year-old, a 13-year-old girl, and a 15-year-old boy. Plays football here for the high school. I'm currently working for the Tulare County Association of Governments. It's a planning agency in Tulare County that deals with federal funding for transportation projects. Prior to that, I had a stint in the private sector, working in, with URS and then with Paoli and O'Dell in Fresno. And then prior to that, I worked with Tulare County with LAFCO and the City of Clovis as an assistant planner. So in total, it's about 13 years of planning experience that I have. So. All I can say is I'm looking forward to working with the rest of you and with Kevin and Alan. I think they've done a really great job in the time they've been here, and I'm really looking forward to the things that are going to be happening here in the city in the future. And I'm really happy to have been considered and to be in this position. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's got quite a bit of experience, Mr. Fabino. He's going to ask some really good questions.
As if you don't.
he's got a lot of experience. Okay, let's move along then to public comment. This is an opportunity for anybody in the general public to come and address the Planning Commission if the item that you'd like to address is not on the agenda already. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to something that's not on the agenda already? Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda, item number 3 on page 2, minutes of the regular meeting of September the 4th. It's recommended that the commission approve these minutes. Have you had an opportunity to look at those minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes of September the 4th.
I move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing, consideration number 4 of conditional use permit application number 2014-03. We got an A and a B. And Ms. Moore is going to speak to us.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Assistant Planner with the Community Development Department. This conditional use permit application was submitted by the Reedley Cemetery District, and to provide a brief background, this proposes to expand the existing cemetery, which has been around for a long time. It was founded in 1889 under a different name, but now it is part of the Reedley Cemetery District, which was a special district formed in 1941. Since there's no record of previous entitlements, this conditional use permit application also kind of memorializes the fact that there is an existing cemetery and that it is now being expanded into the subject property. This is the area of the Reedley Cemetery District. It also extends into the Tulare County area as well, about 12 square miles, I think. But this just to give you an idea of what area the district serves. This is the, these are the existing boundaries of the cemetery. So this is on South Reed Avenue. And as you can see, the surrounding area includes the Kings River to the west and the wastewater treatment plant. And to the east, we have single family development and the Palm Village retirement community. So just to briefly go over the project description, and then I'll also show you the site plan. Basically, as I said, this is an expansion of the existing cemetery, so burial services will be provided here as well. There's a proposed driveway access from South Reed Avenue onto the property, and there's a two-way roadway for vehicular access that's circling the entire property. There's also about 8 parking spaces that are added. There's also proposed pedestrian walkway through the center of the project with a columbarium and fountain, and also landscaping throughout the area. So this is the site plan that was submitted, and we also have a color version of that here that the applicant was nice enough to bring. So I wanted to kind of zoom in on this a little bit and focus first on the vehicular access. So if you look on the bottom left-hand corner, that's the cross-section of the street that's lined with trees that circles the property. And then on the bottom right, you see that there's a median in the center. So that's what you would see if you were driving through, turning onto South Reed. And this is a zoomed in version of the pedestrian access. So it's north and south. And then in the center is a fountain feature and where the columbarium is located. And so that's where the pedestrians will go. And then this is a cross section. So that will kind of be a main feature in the center. And so it's about 3 feet high maximum with the fountain in the middle. To go quickly through the process, this cemetery is a use that's consistent with the planned land use designation that this property is, which is public institutions and facilities. And it's also consistent with the RCO Resource Conservation and Open Space Zone District. And it's a conditional use in that zone district, which is why we're here this evening. And since it's a conditional use permit, this hearing, this public hearing was duly noticed in the Reedley Exponent, and the notice was also sent to surrounding property owners. Staff has determined that this project is exempt from CEQA under section 15301 and 15303. because there's an existing cemetery, and so the structural additions are next to none because it's just the small structure in the center of this property, and it's new construction of a limited number of new small structures. So staff has determined that it's categorically exempt. So that's a quick overview of the conditional use permit application. Staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment and to approve the conditional use permit application, number 2014-03. And I'd also just like to point out that resolution 2014-12 has an attachment, which are the conditions of approval for the project. And so if approved, these conditions will be mandatory unless appealed to council. And that concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have, or if the applicant would like to speak.
Okay, thank you. Questions, gentlemen?
Yeah, I had one question. I looked at the conditions of approval. Let me go to that page here. Just kind of a...
The attachment.
Yeah, it's in the attachment, so I should have opened it.
Yeah, it's in the middle there.
Sorry about that. Yeah, here we go. Condition number 8, having to do with the expiration of the CUP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with this part of it, but there's a date given of October 28, 2015. Does that mean that the permit would expire if the applicant doesn't start the project by that time, or does he have to finish the project by that time?
That's, yeah, you're correct. Basically what happens is the conditional use permit is approved this evening if voted to approve. So then there's a 10-day appeal period. That'll be October 28th when the exercise of the rights are granted. And so the expiration date is October 28th, 2015 for the project to start.
Okay.
So it could be, if they pull a building permit. So they have a year to do that. So they don't have to complete the project by that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I might add, there's also an opportunity to request extensions.
Okay.
And those can be granted as well.
Yes.
So we're well aware, and quite frankly, just for the benefit, you know what, I'll talk about that. I'll answer your question in a little bit more detail when we get to the director's report.
Sure.
But
okay,
for now, it is 1 year. They are eligible for extensions. We would almost guarantee they're going to need an extension, understanding what their time frame is. And that's not a problem. And we've assured them to move ahead.
Okay.
You know.
Thanks.
Okay. Other questions? I will turn to the audience, and if there's any questions from the audience, please come forward and state your name and address, and please feel free to speak to the matter.
Thank you very much, commissioners. My name is David Horn. I'm with Yamabe and Horn Engineering. Our address is 2985 North Burrell in Fresno, and we've been retained as the cemetery district's engineer on this project. So we helped Paul Saito with the application that you have in front of you. First of all, I want to appreciate the city staff for helping us through a few questions that we had as we were getting started, and the feedback that we got from them was very helpful to get to this point, so we appreciate that. Bill Conrad is here as the district manager. If you have any specific questions for him, he'd be happy to help answer those if you can. We've looked through the conditions. They seem very straightforward. We agree to do everything per the city standards, both on the planning side, the engineering side. We've done many projects here in Relay, so we understand what's going to be expected from our point of view. Regarding the timeline, the property is planted in peaches right now. There's a very kind of specific plan with the cemetery to allow a couple of crops to come out of that. So we were going to hold on to the application until we knew exactly when they were going to be able to start, pull a permit or start construction. But it made more sense, and after talking with Mr. Fabino, to go ahead and get started so that we knew what the conditions were going to be to allow the cemetery district to save some money, make sure financing was in place to actually start the construction. So that date that's a condition, we will not be able, we're not planning on starting a permit at that time because of the crops. So we will either have to file for extension or do something. So if that's an issue, you know, we don't want to force the cemetery district to have to start over or do anything. But as long as that's allowable, we do want to make sure that's acceptable for the district. I had a couple questions on a few of the conditions that I might be able to bring up, at least for discussion. But in the most part, everything looks very straightforward and acceptable. On condition 25, it refers to our the entrance on Reed Avenue. The way that our site plan is shown, it is not a standard commercial type approach that would be the ST5B, which is a sidewalk that's just depressed at the driveway. The standard ST6, which is in the condition, I just want to clarify that is the planned approach that has two radius curbs, has handicap ramps on either side. It looks more, it's a more open entrance that is shown on the site plan. So as long as that ST6 is an allowable entrance, it just refers to the valley gutter, so I just wanted to clarify that.
So if you don't mind, let me jump in here. For the benefit of the commission, this is a really great opportunity, and staff would like to, before we go any further, hear direction from you. Really appreciate the questions that are being raised by the applicant. I'm not so sure that this is the forum to have those questions raised. If the applicant wants to have those conversations with staff because they're technical in nature, then we certainly are amenable to do that. I guess I just want to be really clear. Are you asking for amendments to these conditions by virtue of, and I'll just use the last example, the last line of 25 says City of Ridley standard ST5B or ST6. So we have given you that opportunity to pick either one. If you're asking at this point for us to make clarifications within these conditions, then I think staff's more than happy to do that, but I think that needs it at a technical level to be outside this forum. But that is your discretion, and you decide what you would like to do. Staff's recommendation is, I'm amenable to everything you're saying, but if you want those corrections, I'd feel more comfortable giving and presenting to our planning commission exactly what those conditions are and mutually agreed to, because it is kind of wordsmithing at this point.
Yeah, I think however
you'd like to do it and whatever the desires of the commission is.
And I don't want to cause any, you know, any delay or any issues, because most of them are all obviously acceptable. That one is probably a bad, that was just the first one I had a note on. It says or, so I think it's perfectly fine the way it is. Maybe more to my point, under general utilities, where it talks about undergrounding existing overhead, is that the same kind of technical question, or if the district is not prepared to actually?
Well, let me ask this. Do you have several of these questions?
No, it's really just that one. The undergrounding the utilities, when we read those conditions, the overhead utilities, the utilities exist overhead in front of the existing cemetery. In the new cemetery district, we weren't sure if we were going to be required to underground it.
Are we referring to item number 27?
27 and 30, yeah.
Okay, so let's just take 27. So first of all, the requirement is seated in the municipal code, so I can't waive that for you.
Okay.
I think what we would do is, as typical, or at least any other city, you are required to underground the new section. Obviously, we can work with you about some kind of a deferral until you do the whole thing, so that if there was some proportionate share that could be shared, all for it. You know, but I think generally speaking, it's hard for staff to provide relief or clarification to something that's required by the code.
Sure.
That one, my hands are tied. I don't, I mean, I appreciate your question, and it's a really good one. And I think we could probably provide some clarification. And I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah. And in talking with Bill, we may have to move the power poles anyway, which may be just as cheap or expensive to underground them. So we don't really know yet. I just wanted to make sure we weren't getting, you know, that the district, either if there is options or something to work.
So let me just go back to, this is the kind of thing, and the reason I brought this to the commission, and I'm going to try and make the point, this is why we like to have the conversations outside of this, because it's not sure. for their purview, mm-hmm. or it's not, no, I didn't mean it that way. It is within their purview, but it could have easily been resolved. So, for example, we have a great relationship with the cemetery district. We greatly appreciate them. They have a very important role in our community. Yeah. In that light, you know, before you move them, you might want to talk to us because we might be able to get them moved under a franchise move.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things in the dialogue we like to have prior to, so that a franchise move basically would not have cost you anything. So there's a variety of ways that all of this can be, you know, worked out prior to when maybe the franchise move, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that costs that would have saved you, could have helped you. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know what the issues were going to be, so I
no, and we just, you know, we agree to all the other conditions. We agree to, you know, everything that's city standard. Just as a background, I don't think there's any planned water services or sewer services. The irrigation is a well there, so that's, you know, that will all be handled. But I think we are agreeable to the conditions as they are here, and we'll be happy to work with staff if there are further technical questions.
I might also go so far as it's to add, even with, should the Planning Commission approve these conditions tonight and the project move forward, these conditions also bind the city and the district to work together on a storm drain issue that still is out there. And we wrote a condition that is just basically binds us at the hip, but doesn't come to us any firm discussion or conclusion as to how that situation will be managed. And so I guess in the same light, we are tied at the hip with these conditions. And so generally speaking, I'm glad you raised up the issues. We can provide clarification, whatever you need, but we're gonna have a lot more conversations to make all this work both for you and for us. I think, Bill, you probably already know, we've been working with other development on the other side and strongly encouraging them to be communicating with you and David to coordinate that street frontage improvement and use economy of scale. And if, you know, the obligations that you have to pull water, sewer, whatever, can be shared, whatever component that can be in that cost, we are highly encouraging it, almost, I'd say, demanding it. We really can't make that demand, right. But we're working really hard to get, you know, everybody on the same page. So this one's a, you know, kind of a unique situation, but we're right there with you.
Yeah, and we definitely appreciate that. And we have discussed with the potential commercial outfit on the other side of the street.
Right.
You know, we've reached out to them, make sure that the driveways make sense on either side of the street. There was a question earlier about the storm drain. There is a city storm drain line that runs right down the kind of northern portion of the property. There's an existing easement for the city of Reedley. There are developments to try and help with the storm drain basin on the other side, but if, regardless, the existing easement, it requires us to, there will be no graves over it if that has to stay in place. There are just, you know, minor improvements, but we understand that that's obligation to the city, the district, to maintain until it's no longer necessary. And we'll make sure and coordinate that on our plans. That's all I had. I appreciate the input, and if there's any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
So, commissioners, please keep the easement in line that we're talking about, because later under my report, I'll be talking about the triangle as we talk about it and give you an update and where all that plays in and how we're trying to get that all coordinated and so it's part of my report.
Question, should they finish their project before ours across the street? How will that impact the connection, and would there be additional cost to us if we didn't on the storm drain connection?
So actually, so I'll just kind of jump ahead. There's a couple of pieces of coordination that are going on. One, I do know that Dobkins, who is buying the 3 acres, we've talked about that, and I'll talk more for the benefit of our newest commissioner so they understand what we're doing. But basically, the Dobkins is on pace to probably break ground the beginning to middle of next year. The city is working with Alt Irrigation District to put in a grant that will go in March or April, maybe as late as June, with awards in August, September. Our understanding, and it's a wee bit vague, but knowing that my understanding is that the cemetery district wanted to get through one more cycle, which really puts them in that kind of July, August, September mode. I think what we're going to end up having is kind of three things about mid-year coming together, to where the Dobkins will be under construction. We'll have all their conditions of approval squared away. They know most of them already. And we will already have this basin and how it will connect from the existing DI. We'll run over to the new basin. New basin may not be constructed, but it will all be lined out. They can't unhook until we're operational. But I think by the time they really get this in place, and they will be part of that whole discussion about design and how it's going to move forward, I think everybody will be in sync. Did I sort of kind of capture what I think is your time frame? So October of next year, maybe?
We were hoping to start this after the fruit comes off in August of 2016.
Perfect. And really, for them, I would suspect that it doesn't make any difference to them when the basin really kind of is developed, because they're going to have a lot of land initially, right? But as soon as we can get, our goal is to get that basin in place as quickly as possible. And it sounds like we're going to be well ahead of you anyway, so I think we're in good shape.
Other questions? Bill or Mr. Horn, you have any questions, comments, further questions, comments?
Nope, thank you.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, you have before you then a recommendation to approve resolution number 2014-12, a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission approving conditional use permit application number 2014-03. And related environmental assessment number 2014-18. I would
you want them
entertain a motion.
Do you want them separately?
They have it under one resolution here. You want it under one or two?
You can do it under one.
Yeah, we'll do it under one. I entertain a motion to approve.
I move.
We have a motion to approve.
I second it.
We have a second to approve. Resolution, we better do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay. We now have Community Development Director's Report, items number 5 and 6, and you've always got good news, so bring us some good news.
Okay, so this is always your favorite part of the meeting, I know.
Well, you bring good news.
So I'm really glad that, just to kind of finish up on what happened a minute ago, I'm really glad that David brought up kind of the situation. This is really common. For years and years, conditions change, or we issue all the conditions, and the applicant reviews them and says, I'd like this tweak or that or the other thing. Just for the benefit of the commission, so what could have happened and the way staff would typically respond is, so we agreed that maybe 5ST5 wasn't appropriate. We would actually rewrite that, and we would give that to you, and we would stand at the dais and say, as agreed to, here's what the amendments are, so that you would know that there had been dialogue. If you had approved it and given staff direction to, yeah, make those changes, we would make those changes as we've done in the past. We would kind of strike out, and then we would ship that around to everybody so that you're fully aware of the conditions. I'm more than happy to meet with anybody. It's their conditions. You know, we're just trying to comply with the municipal code. So I do thank them, because the reason that that's important is we do have new folks here. Some of you have been through a battle. Yeah, you two guys. and as we go through this, and we've got a lot more projects coming down the pike, you're going to see these things occur regularly. That being said, let me go into my report. Kind of on a fun note, on the 28th of the month, the department is going to be before the city council, and we are going to be presenting the first Reedley Revitalization Award. So appropriately, knowing that it's baseball season, you know, as the baseball story goes, and I use this many a time, before Coach Matheny said it the other night, it's one pitch, one out, and one inning. Well, for us, it's one structure, one block, one neighborhood at a time. So that being said, we have a gentleman in the community, really goes under the radar. It's Vargas Construction, Jesus Vargas. Probably most of you never know him. He's a guy that he picked up a vacant lot down on Frankwood, you know, where the two new homes are. That was like a really decrepit old vacant lot full of trash. He put two, a primary unit and a secondary dwelling unit. Many of you remember the cinder block house that was just absolutely trashed on Reed. You go buy it now, you know, Jesus, you know, took that on. I've got pictures of what it looks like and what it looks like the inside. I mean, it's like a complete transformation. He is one of these guys that'll do 3 or 4 projects a year. You know, he's not, you know, a big name. He's not a national, but every time he does a project, we in the department appreciate that he comes in, he visits with us, he shows us design, he works with us, he's done great work, and he's really kind of the epitome of, you know, one building, one block, one neighborhood of a time, at a time. So we're gonna be recognizing Jesus Vargas on October 28th. Kind of a fun thing, but just to let you know. With respect to projects that are coming up, as most of you are well aware, not related to the city, I make that claim again, not related to the city, but the successor agency did recently agree to sell the vacant parcel and the underlying parcel in which the Granger building sits to the Unified School District. They are in the process of purchasing that. It will be with, we understand, the intent of a general office use, their administrative building. Presuming that it's general use and not educational related, no classrooms, things like that, then there's a possibility you'll see a rezone application, maybe a conditional use permit. Is that site plan?
It's a CUP.
So then it'll be a CUP, and you'll get, you'll weigh in on both of those. You'll be recommending to the council whatever you're going to recommend with respect to the rezone application, and then you would be contingently approving the conditional use permit if you so see fit. The triangle, which is directly across the street from this, for Commissioner Gutierrez, we, the city, bought 19 acres, which we refer affectionately to as the triangle. It's located basically at Reed and Floral. It's a triangular piece. This kind of, to kind of tell the story again, really was kind of the genesis of that project was actually this project. The cemetery district approaches and said, look, we'd love to develop, but we got this real big problem about this easement that you guys have. And of course, the city would only put an easement right down the middle of somebody's property because I don't know where else you'd put it, right? So, but that was like way before everybody's time in this room, so I can say that, right? So, you know, of course, it's in the ideal location, and we're kind of looking at it, and they want to expand, and at the same time, the developer across the street's really not excited about developing and really ready to let the land turn into almond fields. And without boring you of all the details, we're just like, really, that's not the highest and best use for that piece. So the city ended up buying it. We bought it, well, we've actually owned it for about 2.5 weeks now since escrow's closed, maybe 3 weeks. The primary purpose was for groundwater recharge. We're very excited. You know, all of you or some of you were here as we passed the general plan. I might say that the general plan has a policy in place that says we're going to do all these things for water, and we're going to reduce our consumptive use by 20% within the next 5 years. This project alone, once we get it up and running, and we think it'll take us about 2 years, will reduce our consumptive water use by 10%. That's huge, and you know, in the first 2 years. So we're really excited about that potential. We also have, as part of that, Dobkins needed a home. They were desperately looking for a piece of land, and we're going to carve out a 3-acre piece and sell it to them. And then the third component to this is basically that the fire station needed a training facility and a place for some storage of vehicles and things like that. Put some minor equipment in locations to make it a little bit easier for the volunteers to get to by virtue of where they all live. So that served a very real, that solved a very real problem for the fire department as well. So we kind of like, from solving problems related to storm drain and what we think helps the cemetery and, you know, some public safety stuff and making sure that pesticides and whatever else gets sprayed on almonds isn't blown into Palm Bluffs and all kinds of other kinds of things. It just has really worked out to be a great project. We are moving ahead. We're on schedule and on time, and that's the most important part. It's bought. Probably within, by the end of this year, you're going to see entitlement applications before you related to that project, and they'll come in two forms. One will be pre-annexation, it'll be rezone, pre-zone as we call it, to get the LAFCO process going, to get it into the city, and then the second component will be actually entitlements related to rezoning the property so it's consistent with the general plan, as well as you'll probably be having a conditional use permit in front of you, which will actually authorize the actual site and structure and so on and so forth. So we're pretty darn excited about that one. Real quickly, there was a comment earlier about, I mean, actually it was, again, a comment related to the length of time for CUPs that is grounded in the general, that's grounded in the Reedley Municipal Code, which really kind of wanted to provide you an update. We have talked to you on occasion, maybe ad nauseum, with respect to things that we're doing to improve that code. and a number of those things have already come before you. Of course, we think they are nothing short of wonderful. They've actually been pretty good in terms of real world application as they have been introduced and implemented in the code. We have a whole nother set that really, quite frankly, Alan has championed and just done, as always, and nothing short, as I know you won't be surprised, a fantastic job of putting some of those things together to help begin implementing some really important topics that come to us regularly: home occupations, parking. I'm the first to admit 1 year is way too short. If you just think about how a commercial development or even this development occurs, by the time they get through their approvals, by the time they do all their performas, by the time they get to the bank, by the time they get approval of the bank, by the time they go through all that, they get any street improvements, any kind of infrastructure improvements they've got to get to us, by the time they get their construction docks out onto the street, a year and a half at least has gone by. So from a practical standpoint, that is one of the code sections that we already know needs to be elongated. That time frame needs to be elongated. The question always in that is, you know, defining diligence, and that will be staff's opportunity to tackle that. So that's why the 1 year is, you know, even if they wanted to start tomorrow, they couldn't. It's not practical to think about making it in a year. But that being said, Ellen's done a great job on two of those topics. We continue to move forward. We had a great meeting recently with the American Farmland Trust and another conservancy that is very much excited about Reedley and what we are doing here with respect to farmland preservation. They keep threatening like national publicity because they're so excited, and both Ellen and I are like, you know, we're just happy we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, if you want to do it, it's okay, but we really don't need it. And they're like, oh, but you really should. Anyway, so we're pretty excited, probably in the next couple months, maybe if we're lucky by the end of the year, but most likely it'll be the first part of the next year. That whole plan will be well defined and before you for implementation into the code. Moving ahead on the economic development front, I think I've talked to everybody again just to make sure we're clear. You know, business has its own processes that are way out of control of the city. And I mean out of control because we don't have any, we literally have nothing to do with it. But Ace Hardware is definitely coming. There's no question about it. They will be in the Town and Country Shopping Center. They pulled their building permits. They are fantastic people. We love them when they come in. They're really, really nice. And of course, we're human beings too, and we always really like really, really nice people. They are scheduled to open up maybe as early a soft opening as the end of October. It may be the first week or two in November, but they certainly are gonna be opening up and trying to get open in time to capture the holidays. So we're pretty excited about that. There's been a lot of rumors about Sears coming in. Yes, they're definitely coming in. Again, you got to understand that process. The process is the landowner has come in, they pulled all their TIs, so they're preparing the shell pursuant to the lease agreement, whatever that is. As soon as that work is completed, there will be another set of permits that will be pulled, which will be actually the Sears and Roebuck contractors. And that will be most likely hanging a T-bar ceiling, and I think they've got some other kinds of things that they have to do, minor, and then they'll be open. Where? I suspect...
Where?
Next to Dollar General. They'll actually be squeezed between, or maybe it's Family Dollar. Which over one? At Save Mart.
Okay.
Save Mart. Okay. Between them and the new clinic.
Yes.
So there's a big open space, so they'll be in there. We're really excited about that. If you haven't driven down I Street recently, and if you were to drive down I Street, 46 units on the easterly side have been constructed. Notice of NOCs are like within days, and they've probably already got people moving in. We're really excited about that. Those are the first apartments in Reedley in a long time.
The ones next to the yard, or yeah, south of the yard?
Next to the courtyard. The other project that actually tomorrow, we hope, they've got three things left on the punch list. And they're all really minor things, and I'd be really surprised if they don't get them done tomorrow. But King's Common, which is on Orange and Dinuba, and I'll tell you, that place is spectacular. That is the new benchmark for Reedley, because I'll tell you, as much as that is geared for low and low mod, I'd live there. It is really, really nice. Really nice.
How many units is that?
60. So they'll start moving people in on Monday. And one of the things that I do commend them, and we want to make sure this gets on the administrative record and we'll send it to them, they have been great about working with the neighbors. You know, anytime, I don't care whether it's Reedley, I mean, you pick any city, it doesn't make any difference. You have that interface between multiple family and single family, there's always complaints. And they have been Johnny on the spot with, we call them and go, you know, so-and-so complained. And they're knocking on the door, visiting with them, trying to make the world right. And they've got a few more things that they're going to do, mostly with respect to line of sight. But they have been really, really great, and we're looking forward to seeing people move in on Monday. So, I mean, it's kind of a historic moment. 100 units in Reedley hasn't happened in 10 years. So that's pretty darn good.
Kevin, is that the one across from the sports park?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, what, is that medium density? Medium...
It's actually it's one of those that was blended because it had a single family designation and then it had a multiple family designation on the front. So when it actually came to the commission, we actually blended the two, which put us actually in the right density ranges for both to accommodate. So that project worked out really, really, really well. You may have noticed construction going on right here on G Street. If you didn't, on the front, drive down the alley. What used to be the old, I don't know the first name, but it used to be a motor car dealership, like Martin's. A long, long time ago.
Oh, no, the old one, yeah. Schellenberg, I think, was.
Close this way. Schellenberg.
Right over here, yeah.
Yeah, so that property is actually, they pulled their demo permit. The demo is going on as we speak. And again, if you drive down the alley, you can't miss it because there's nothing there. And that is actually going to be a building, a single building with two 5,000 square foot facilities, we think. I think it's going to change, to be honest with you. But it'll be 10,000 square feet in total. The primary use will be medical. We've got the group of doctors that is staying in town, which everybody wanted, and it's the right group of doctors, right? Is it Sorensen? And yeah, so they found a home right there. They're going to go in. So pretty excited about that. That conditional use permit is coming before you on November 4th. Or 4th? Is that right?
Yeah. No, December?
No. No, November 6th.
20th? Yeah, November 6th.
November 6th. So
there's none at this time.
Yeah.
So that'll be the item.
That will be the item.
Yeah, the conditional use permit, where it says November 20th, that CUP is moving up to the 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so there'll be nothing on the 20th.
Well, at this point, yeah.
Ellen and I sat today. We got another project in that. We may have something for you on the 20th.
All right. You just know how to keep us interested to come back.
You know, if there were a way that I could figure out how to...
5 days a week?
No, actually, if I could figure out how to keep them happy and push them back 2 weeks, I would do it. But most of the time, they're like, let's go, 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 go. So we're just trying to make sure we're keeping pace with the needs of the development and not wearing you out too much.
Kevin, just jumping ahead a little bit on that Sorensen building.
Yeah.
How are we accommodating the parking? Is that going to be in the back?
Okay, so actually that's, we can talk about that real briefly. That one's kind of interesting in that I know there's been some conversation already about that. There's twofold. One, this particular project and the developer of the project elected to put public parking in the back. And off the top of my head, I do not remember how many stalls it is. I think it's like 7 or 8, but it's primarily the handicap. So they elected to do that. And the reason I say that is because in the municipal code, there is an area defined as non-parking or a exempt parking area, which happens to be down the majority of G Street. So what that really says is anybody that comes in doesn't, there are no parking requirements to them, as we would, you know, if we were going to do something out at the Triangle. You know, they have parking requirements, they have to meet them. In this parking exempt area, they do not have to meet those. So the pub opened up tomorrow, right? Yeah, I know, we get all excited. So that'd be a whole nother conversation. This meeting would have been a lot shorter then. You know, they have no requirements to provide parking or provide additional parking. So I'm already anticipating there'll probably be some concern about, well, now people are, you know, now my patrons aren't going to park in front of my business. You know, that's a great problem to have in any city. We can talk offline, there's a lot of reasons, but really the downtown area, if somebody has to walk 2 or 3 stalls, that, you know, or across the street.
Or they're going by a business.
Or they're going by a business. Yeah. I mean, we all know we go down to Main Street and at lunchtime, and the odds of me getting a spot in front of Main Street, slim and none. So it's really kind of no different than anywhere else. But I know it's a topic coming up, and we'll be well prepared to address it. Anything else?
Hey, are you done?
I
have a left turn, so go ahead.
Okay, two more things real quick. Actually, 3 more things now that I think about it. And if you keep interrupting, I'll think of more. No, I'm just kidding, Pete. Everybody knows about the bridge, you know, where the bridge, you can now drive across it on the new side. And so traffic's been diverted, as everybody knows. Hopefully everybody knows. You hopefully have had a chance to drive over it. Yeah, whatever. I know, but it is kind of exciting. So what they're doing now, if you're wondering what they're doing now, it is, what's going to happen is they're stripping the deck. So they're taking all that old, you know, AC off. They're kind of knocking down the rails. They're actually digging out the end, the abutments. And then in the next couple weeks, that all will stop. And they'll work kind of in the median, what will be the median. And then they'll come back, and then they'll start dropping that section of the bridge. And then we'll go through the whole thing again. So that big, I don't know if any of you, I can't remember if I took any of you, but next time you gotta go. It is absolutely amazing. And David, if you wanna come see some like cool stuff, that when they start digging those holes, and the way they lift those cages up and drop them, phenomenal, unbelievable. It's quite a sight to see. But they'll be starting on that. They are, for the most part, on time and on budget. They're a week or two behind, I'll give them that, mostly because, really not to any fault of theirs, but more Southern Edison Gas getting some lines moved. Other than that, I just, Reed Avenue is going along very well. We sat with the engineer, looked and reviewed some technical studies about traffic counts, things you know, we can and can't do with respect to the roundabout at North and Reed. We talked about a variety of scenarios at Reed and Manning, and we also talked about a number of different scenarios with the mid-block crossing north. You know, north on Reed, where all the kids cross. So that's
the rails of the trails.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right by the church where they cross. That's like.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of the college kids park at Redeemers, and then they'll walk across. So there were a number of things that we talked about. You know, one of the things we talked about was getting rid of a mid-block. But there's really no really good place to move that intersection. So then we talked about what are the enhancements. And one of the things that I was adamant about was lights. They need the light where the kids come out, you know, and start walking north on Reed. Because a lot of times what happens is those kids will be walking north. And if you're traveling north, you can't see them till it's way too late. The other thing that we talked at length about was the idea that, you know, you're really transitioning from a rural to an urban setting. You know, you come blowing down 55, 60 at least, and then you hit the first set of apartments, and then you're Redeemers and you're right there. And that's not much of a transition. So what are the things that we can do to help alert drivers and warn drivers that they're coming into that urban setting? One of the things that we talked about at length was the possibility of installing one of those Your Speed Is. And I don't want to know because it doesn't go to triple digits, but you know, no, I'm just kidding. So there's a variety of things that we're talking about. It's actually kind of cool. We will let you know. The next step is they're going to make some modifications to those conceptual drawings. There will most likely be a community workshop. We'll let you know when it is. If you can make it, great. It'd be fantastic. Down to my last thing is I just want to, for the balance of the commissioners, I am, as your staff, so excited to have Gabriel and Dawn aboard. You get to listen to me blabber all the time, but you now have a planner amongst you that, you know, you can talk to. I've known Gabriel a while, and we went through a war together, and he's really, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him and his planning ability, so he'll be a great, great addition to the commission. And Dawn, who we all know, and I've gotten to know over the last 2 years, I think she'll bring a great business sense to all of us. So I just want to say we're staff is extremely excited to have you aboard. Welcome. And can't wait till Dawn gets here. And that concludes my report, with the exception of any questions that
the left turn
might have.
Just out of curiosity, and I know how you hate these left turns after you've already planned everything, but one of the things that the city needs are our satellite fire department stations.
Right.
And my thought was that we have that land over there, and I'm not sure how much square footage is needed for one of those stations, but is there any way that we would consider carving out some space for that on the north side? Because I know we need one on the north side, or south side, and also one on the north side and south side. So is there any possibility that we may want to consider that?
So this, I don't often shirk my responsibility, but I think it's, what I can tell you is it's really a question for the chief and one that is going on constantly. So when we talk about the triangle, that is not intended to be a substation. That is intended to be a training facility.
Right.
So one of the things that we're doing right now, is through our development impact analysis, so we have development impact fees, right? We're going through that and trying to update that as we speak. So through that process, we're trying to identify what, or the chief is trying to identify what his long-term needs are. Some of that is a best guess. And I think if I can maybe speak a little bit out of school, what the chief is trying to balance is where is the growth, but where do his volunteers live? So he's got a real challenge. It doesn't make any sense to put a station at, and I'm just going to make it up, Manning and Buttonwillow, if all of the volunteers live, you know, across street from Manuel. Because then they all have to go to there, right? They all go across town, assemble, do whatever they do as firemen, you know, whatever I see on Chicago Fire, and then they ride their trucks to wherever they go. So that's his challenge. He's trying to figure out how to balance all that out. I know he thinks about it all the time. We talk about it in development review. I don't know that there's any answers that, you know, have come up. You know, there's opportunities that, again, it goes kind of like private business. You know, we buy farm land for the triangle at 30, 40 an acre. Well, somebody hears they want a fire station, it gets all of a sudden 70, 80 an acre. And the chief wants 2 to 3 acres, because by the time he gets a full-on substation, and the model is not what we have downtown. That was good. That was a good model for a fire station 30 years ago. That's not the kind of fire station you would build today. So does that answer your question?
I've spoken to him about that, and you're right about the volunteer fire department, and I know that the other spot he's looking at as well too, but I just thought that looking ahead, that if that happened to be one of the concentrations, and if that area was good for him in terms of what you just spoke about, I think it would behoove us to think about something like that while we're in a process. Of course, then there's where you get the money to build it.
So I think actually what we're starting, at least from the community development standpoint, is we're saying, let's put the development impact fees in place so that if you don't know where it is today, it's no big deal. You're at least generating the money off new construction that comes to the city. It's new growth. I mean, that's what those fees are for. So that when you identify that piece, you've at least got some seed money. You know, if we go identify it now but don't generate the seed money, then we're always behind.
Exactly.
So we're actually trying to get ahead of the game, if you will.
Right.
You know, and the development impact fees, we'll talk more, you know, about that later, because that will be coming to you short, probably, if we're lucky, the end of the year, probably the first of next year. But that is a huge project to tackle for you as policymakers, and we'll try to give you as much briefing as we go along. And that concludes my report. Still, keep going.
I have one more question.
Sure.
We talked about having a newsletter coming out to us,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I'm pushing this is because it's very embarrassing to hear from the community what's going on in our community, and we don't even know about it. And I'll give you an example, was Ace Hardware and the Sears thing. In my opinion, as commissioners, we should be aware of those things. And like I said, it was mighty embarrassing when I'm sitting in the office, somebody comes and tells me that I heard this is going in, and I said, okay, that's terrific, but that's the kind of information we need to know in advance.
So, Pete, I'll just say this, you know, we did talk about it at the last Planning Commission, we've talked about it a couple times, so tonight's not the first time it came up. Please call me, you know, anytime you hear those things. I will tell you, and I'll say it again, yes, I do owe you a newsletter. Just with all the projects and just Ellen and I apologize. I just haven't gotten to it. So that's my bad. But at the same time, I also have to let you know that I'm always very leery and very cautious, because I can tell you right now, and I'll tell you a real life story. In a past job, and I think I probably told you this before, I have some people that I have worked with for a very long time who primarily do the engineering work for Walmart. And I was asked one day if I would call them to see if the community I was working in would be, you know, someplace Walmart would consider. Well, I knew darn well we didn't have enough rooftops, but I called them. All I did was place the call. Next thing you know, in the paper, you know, we're getting Walmart. So I could tell you about a national retailer that has contacted me, and we've been talking to them. And do I think it's favorable? Yes. But I certainly don't want to say who it is, because the minute that they go, you know, for whatever reason, and this is the part I hope everybody understands, the city can do everything right and the deal can fall through. So right now, we have met with a national retailer. National retailer was very excited about coming to Reedley. They were very excited to hear about our processes and how we manage projects, and they're ready to go. They still have to work out, and they have a fair amount of negotiations, and without going into detail, to make this happen. I am always hesitant to say, oh, the national retailer X, Y, and Z is coming in. And then because of the private market capitalism, you guys catch it, it all fall apart. I get worried about your credibility and my credibility in the long run. So I give you that because I want to be really careful. And I also want to encourage you, anytime you hear something like that, call me. Call me. I will always tell you. At the same time, I also agreed to get you something and I didn't. So I sincerely apologize for that. But
when things like that happen, like for example, Ace, that's a privately owned location. Is that correct? So the city really doesn't know what the owner and the retailer are doing or whatever. So that's why when people ask me that, I'm like, you know what? We deal with this. When it comes to private issues, we don't deal with that unless there's a rezoning and all that.
So the Ace is a good example. Ace came and visited with us 6 months ago. But in order for Ace to come in, they had to work with Reedley Lumber, because Reedley Lumber is Ace. Once they got approval from Reedley Lumber, then there was a whole corporate negotiation. Then once they got that done, and we knew they had already cleared those two big hurdles, but they hadn't gotten their lease agreement, because I knew the right people to ask, hey, you guys got a lease agreement? Nope, not yet. So I'm sitting here going, okay, where are we with that project? So again, I apologize, because I'm not trying to withhold anything. But I just also don't want to be in a position where, you know, people think we're getting all of these great things and then it never happens. And I think that's probably more harmful to us in the city than, you know, letting it creep out. You know, I just kind of, again, before I get off my soapbox, remind us of Wendy's.
Wendy's, Chipotle's.
You know, those are great examples. Wendy's wanted to be here. Wendy's would be here tomorrow. And we've talked about that. That, you know, it was the Wendy's business model is to buy land. Nobody in Reedley would sell them the land. You know, and that one I kind of got caught in the middle of because I got excited and thought, oh, Wendy's is coming. That guy was great. And then it's in the paper. And the next thing you know, Wendy's is like rolling right out the door going, don't even kind of call me anymore, because that was actually the third time they had been here. Chipotle's the same kind of thing. So I do apologize because I do owe you that. Again, I'm not trying to shirk my responsibility, but please do call me, and I'm always hesitant, and you know that, but it's all, you know, trying to be prudent in what we get out, and don't want to cry wolf too many times that people don't listen. So I apologize to you, Pete.
Okay.
Keep going. You're on a roll. What else?
Oh, I'm done.
No, that was easy.
Any other comments, questions?
Just one question about the, you keep talking about the triangle. You're referring to the property to the east of the proposed cemetery, or the cemetery?
Yeah, it's actually...
This one here?
It's actually that piece right there.
This whole piece?
Yep.
That's what you want.
Yep. And then we're actually in the this place. So
I just wanted to make sure that I was thinking about
it. And you can see it on the map here.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
So since we painted, we don't have our maps up, and it echoes a lot in here, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. But thank you for the extra time. I greatly appreciate the...
Good job.
They could have left a long time ago, but they stayed. So
I have a question. I have a question for Bill. I'm going to go back to the cemetery project. In the documents here, it says if during construction on the attachment to the resolution, if there are suspected human remains, are you talking about on your current property or the property next door, to call the coroner's office?
You know where the dead bodies are. Yes, I know where the dead ones are.
Isn't that a legitimate question? What are you laughing about? It says, if suspected human remains.
There should not be any in our expansion.
Oh, you're talking about the expansion.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Where the trees are at, because there shouldn't be anything. And
was that supposed to be a joke?
I thought he was getting ahead of himself.
Blinded the moon.
Yeah, I like that, Rod. He was worried you were going to say it.
Okay.
Do you know something he doesn't?
Well, I was kind of fishing.
He's been here longer than Reed Lee, so maybe he might know something.
Like when people ask me how many dead people are buried in the cemetery, and I say all of them.
See, we started something here. Okay, future agenda items. So we do anticipate something will be on November the 6th, Ellen. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Sounds like you're gonna have to plan on November the 6th. Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion to
adjourn?
I have a motion at the end.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.